Liberal Democrat MP for Twickenham and Secretary of State for Business, Innovation and Skills, Vince Cable, joins me now live. Very good morning to you, Vince.
Morning.
Is there going to be an inquiry into banking practices?
Well, there have already been a lot of inquiries into banking practices. The Treasury Select Committee, which was in Parliament, for example, conducted a very thorough review. It had all the top bankers in front of them. They made their apologies. There was an in-depth inquiry. There have been others. I was part of a banking commission with David Davis, John McFall and others, which went over a lot of this territory. Simply having a big Levinson-type inquiry, I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but who pays all the legal fees and where does it lead? So I don't actually think this is the best way forward. I mean, I think what has now to happen is the government's got to continue with introducing a much more effective, tougher system of regulation and taking through Parliament the reforms we've laid out on splitting the casinos, the investment banks from ordinary banking. We've got to follow that through and trying to encourage kind of new models altogether. I mean, we've got the Co-op Bank now moving into taking over Lloyd's branches. We've got the Nationwide doing business lending. There's the Swedish bank, Handelsbank, for example, doing very good long-term investment. I mean, that's in the long run the way that we're going to get a better banking system.
Now, you talk about casino banking there. Do you not think that by calling it that, you actually give the wrong impression to people? Because most people don't really understand what investment banks do. And if you use a term like that, isn't it rather emotive?
Well, I didn't invent it. I mean, the phrase is constantly used by the governor of the Bank of England, actually, who has overall responsibility these days for regulating the banking system, and he knows what it means, and he's trying to draw attention to the fact that, you know, high risk trading is a very different kind of activity from traditional banking, business lending, lending to households, mortgage lending. They're very different kind of businesses, and they got mixed up in these big global banks with, very damaging consequences. And that's why we're trying to separate the two out.
So if I understand you correctly, you said no to an inquiry into banking practices.
No, I didn't say no. I didn't say no. I mean, there may be some value in it.
Did you say yes, then?
I have an open mind on it. I just don't think that is actually going to help us. We've got immediate problems to deal with in government, and we just get on with them. I mean, if you take one example this morning, how do we deal with these tens of thousands of small businesses who have been saddled with these very complex financial derivatives, the interest rate swaps and so on, which they didn't understand, and the banks who sold them didn't understand, probably, and who are now being bankrupted. I mean, I have responsibility in government for small business, and I want to see this problem sorted out by...
Well, we all want to see the problem sorted out, but now I'm confused, I'm afraid. You confused me, because you didn't say no, but you haven't said yes. So I just wonder how you respond to Ed Miliband, who has said we must have an inquiry into the city's, what he describes as, corrupt elite.
Well, of course, if there's corruption, that's got to be rooted out. All I'm trying to say is that I don't think the Ed Miliband suggestion is terribly helpful. I say I'm not opposed to it, but there are, of course, a vast legal costs involved in an inquiry. Parliament can do that. If they want to have it, I'm perfectly relaxed about it. All I'm trying to say is that in order to sort out the banking system, we know what we have to do. I mean, we have to toughen up the regulation. We have to deal with the issue of the investment banks and other banking. We have to deal with the immediate issue of the mis-selling to a large number of small companies. That's the issue I'm immediately engaged with. And we have to encourage new forms of long-term sensible banking practice. We know what the agenda is. Let's get on with it. By all means, have an inquiry. But, you know, unfortunately, I mean, Ed Balls would probably be the first witness having to explain why this, you know, hopelessly inadequate system of regulation came about in the first place.
Because I was going to ask you about that, because most of the scandals that we're talking about, which have allowed the new season of banker bashing to take place, really did actually take place under the last government's watch, between 2005 and 2007, before the crash, 2007 to 2009, after the crash. Of course, we'd like to hear that perhaps those practices have stopped and there are questions to answer by all those. But in terms of the people who are in charge of the banks now, and indeed those who are in charge of regulation then, are we making a fuss about something that has happened, but it's gone away?
Well, I think in terms of the LIBOR setting, the interest rate fixing the scandal, that was history. That did happen in 2008, 2009, and the people involved in that, you know, some of them have moved on, some of them have moved up. The issue about the mis-selling of swaps is actually a current. It's been going on until very recently, and it's something that actually has to be stopped now. We're dealing with a mixture of history and of current bad practice.
And how do you respond to those who have been calling for the likes of Bob Diamond to resign? He has been described, of course, as the unacceptable face of banking in the past. Is it time that people like that, who are earning as significant money as he is, should perhaps leave the business? Or do you think that he is the man to lead that particular organisation through, you know, through to, I don't know, the other side of this inquiry and these reviews?
Well, I did express the view about a year ago, and indeed before that, that it was a very bad idea to have investment bankers put in charge of high street banks. So, as a general proposition, I think that remains the case. I have to be a little bit careful what I say about individuals, including him, because one of my statutory responsibilities in government is dealing with the disqualification of directors who are not found fit, and, you know, lest that issue arise, I don't want to prejudice anything by making personal comments, but I made my general view clear in the past.
Okay, well, we can read between the lines then. But then, who do we, the public, if you like, hold responsible? Because we've got past the parcel. We've got the past government saying, well, it's not us. We've got the regulator saying, oh, but look, we're being tough. We've got banks here and abroad saying, well, conditions are really tricky, so you can't blame us. You've got customers who are saying, well, we were missold things, and then banks saying, well, you should have understood more. I mean, who do we hold responsible for this mess?
Well, there are a lot of people are responsible, and your list is a pretty good one. You know, regulation was unsatisfactory, the bank supervision was weak, which is why we had Northern Rock and things of that kind, and the politicians regulators who had oversight of that have to carry some responsibility. The banks themselves lost any sense of moral compass, or at least some of them. There are some good bankers around, but many of them did. And in some cases, consumers were foolish too. So the responsibility is fairly widely diffused. But I think in order not to get sunk into a sort of vast swamp of complexity, I think we do have to deal with issues problem by problem, and we do recognise that there is an issue immediately in front of us, which is this crippling impact on small business of the mis-selling scandal, and we've got to deal with that. You know, there are certain things we can do to actually stop it, to get redress, to get a moratorium on companies being forced into bankruptcy. Without going into a great moral inquiry, we can deal with this in a practical way. I think the reforms in front of Parliament for splitting the investment banks, and I repeat the phrase casinos, from ordinary high street banking, we have to see that through. That is a big practical step forward to making British banking safer and more sensible. So that's the way I would prefer to deal with it, in a practical, hands-on way.
You talk about dealing with it in a practical, hands-on way, but I think many people listening will be saying, at the moment, you and indeed many others appear to be pointing a lot of fingers at a whole industry. And the industry itself seems to point its finger at a few rogue individuals. What is the case, and how would you say that people can have more confidence in their banking system if, for example, you don't go for this moral inquiry, which you say you don't want?
No, I didn't say that. Please, let's go back over this again. The leader of the Labour Party has called for a general inquiry without spelling out exactly what it entails. As I say, I have absolutely no problem with the idea of having more inquiries and more exposure of what's happened. I'm sure it's healthy. What I have said is that Parliament is a very good vehicle for doing that. We have the Treasury Select Committee. I'd have thought that was a better way of doing it than landing the taxpayer with millions of pounds of legal fees for a new Levinson inquiry. But if it is decided that a Levinson-style inquiry is the best way forward, I have no problem with that. I mean, I'm not quarrelling with you about that. I'm just trying to say that at the moment this is a bit diversionary, and that we have these very real practical problems to deal with, which we've got to deal with in order to make the banks safe, to get them lending to good small businesses who are driving the British economy. That's the real priority, and sorting out practical issues around the mis-selling scandal.
And just finally to you, if I may, isn't part of the problem here that the longer that this goes on, that first of all, we perhaps shy away investment banks and banking organisations from setting up in London and indeed perhaps kick-starting our economy. And the second thing is that unless we get the banks moving, we're putting more people into the arms of unscrupulous lenders that appear to be unregulated and offering very expensive loans.
Well, you're quite right to say that there are dangers in both respects. It is important for the UK that the city continues to function here as a major exporter of services. Actually, most of the things that the city does are not controversial and are not subject to scandal. The insurance industry hasn't been touched by the big financial crisis of the last 3 or 4 years, and they do an enormous amount of work for the British economy and trading internationally, and a lot of the work of the accountants and the lawyers, very productive, earns Britain a lot of money and isn't caught up with this. But so, yes, we do need the city, but of course it has to be properly regulated. Your other point, there is a danger of creating a black economy. Under the surface, people escaping from regulation into loan sharks, and we do have to make sure that those kind of consumer abuses are dealt with in a tough way, and I recognise the challenge of that.
OK, well, thank you very much indeed.